SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh. On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
Welcome back. It's hour two of In This League. I am the Welsh. That is Bogman. Catch us on Twitter at Bogman Sports, at Is It The Welsh. Those are our handles. You can find all of our stuff over at patreon.com/ITL Army. And this is ITL on Sports Grid. Hour two, we were talking on the other side of the break of the news of JT Realmuto that he has a fractured thumb and he is going to miss some time, about a month. Not great. Also, it's his throwing hand for a catcher. So we can all just brush it off if we want Boggs to be like, oh, it'll be fine. It's a month. That's plenty of time. He'll be back for the regular season. But that's missed spring training. That is his throwing hand. And it definitely, I think, can stretch into the first couple weeks of the season. We got another bit of news on a massive player. Maybe it's not as big of a deal. We'll let you decide. Shane Bieber tested positive for COVID. He is not with the team. He's actually been out here in Arizona training for quite a while. So, hey, shocker. Though we've gotten better, but one of the worst places about a month ago for COVID out here in Arizona. He has tested positive. They said mild symptoms, and they actually say he's going to be back with the team possibly in a few days. But that's two major players with not great stuff tied around them.
And let's not forget what a lot of these guys have said. Remember, Yoan Moncada said that he's not 100%. He wasn't 100% after dealing with COVID all of last year. Eduardo Rodriguez had to sit out the entire year because of COVID. So it's not like, oh, this guy has COVID. At least he has it now in the beginning of spring training, so he doesn't have to deal with it during the season. You know, it could have it, and it's not like this for everyone. So I don't mean to hit the panic button here. But when you're working in a tier, Welsh, of those top three pitchers of Cole, Bieber, DeGrom, yeah, I think this moves Bieber down to three, regardless of where you were with him before, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely justifies that. That worry does stay with me. It's not so much. They said he has mild symptoms. He'll be back. Plenty of players have kind of worked through it. But, you know, we were just kind of talking about, you know, the investment. You know, it's like the running back situation, having the elite guys put you in a different place. When there's such a little separator between, like, I've already moved DeGrom above Bieber because I think the win factor plays well for DeGrom and that's enough. But when there's such little differentiation between them, you throw a guy having early COVID on the year, I think that is enough. That, what if that does stay with him? It's something to consider if you had Bieber above Gerrit Cole. We got to go to break. When we come back, more spring training notes for the first week of all the returns around baseball, plus some football stuff. Don't go anywhere. In This League, we'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
On Samsung TV.
Let me explain something to you. I am not
in this league.
You're
in this league.
I'm the dude.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Patreon.com/ITL Army. That is where you can join up. You can support us while getting a ton of stuff back. We've got multiple tiers that can get you stuff like videos of all the shows we do. Whenever we have a guest, you can check out the videos, whether it's on the prospect side or the baseball or football, whatever it is. We've got secret shows. We've got tons of ranks, like the top 300 redraft ranks. We have got dynasty and prospect ranks. We've got special stuff like our own ADPs. It really is a ton. And believe me, for $5 to $10, you can get a whole bunch and have direct access to us. So check us out, patreon.com/ITL Army, and we'd appreciate it. What was the thing we were talking about, too? I already forgot it, but didn't I say if we got to like 600 by March? What was the thing we were? Oh, we would.
Yeah, you said you were just going to let people stay at my apartment. Right. That was the thing.
That was
which is also not true.
I was going to ask. I was going to ask Nick, be like, you want to put Bogman's apartment stay up on there? That's probably.
Yeah.
They do have a mystery. If they'd have a mystery prize to get to 15,000, it could be staying at Bogman's house.
I mean, if that gets it to 15,000, then that's fine.
That's good. So. No, I was saying if we got to 600, maybe I think even by mid-March, the idea was we would do an entire live stream roasting people's drafts. Like we would like to miss because we have this idea, which we're going to do at the end of the year, the end of the draft season. It's called Mystery Science Mystery. What exactly do we want to go? Mystery Science Draft or Mystery Draft
Mystery Theater 3000. Science Draft 3000, I think sounds the best.
Yeah, Mystery Draft Theater 3. Maybe it's Mystery Draft Theater 3000.
Yeah, maybe you just asked me what to say and then I said it and then you just made something.
Because I forgot it. That's fine. Essentially, completely copying off of Mystery Science Theater 3000, we would go through an entire mock draft where we're not even drafting and we're just making fun of it, that we would have little mini versions and we would just allow people to send in their draft and they could point to like a person or something and we could go through. We'd have some fun with it. So come and sign up, patreon.com/ITL Army. Obviously, we have not defined it, but if we get to 600, we'll be doing something like that. And you could potentially have one of your league mates' team completely roasted by Bogman and I. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, I it's going to be fun for us. I know that. So yeah. I don't know if it'd be fun for everyone, but I think it's a fun exercise for sure. And I'm excited to do it.
Yeah. You know, another one, maybe I missed this, but I think Chris Sale has also tested positive. I saw Bubba.
Jesus.
Yeah. Bubba mentioning that Sale is up there because it's kind of a wild ride right now between.
It's going to be more and more.
Yeah. So. Well, Frankie Montas and Bieber, I guess Chris Sale is in there and now everybody is back together. We'll see where it's going to go. And furthermore, kind of shows everybody how important, I suppose, the quarantine side of what they're doing with baseball is. But it's a little bit of a rocky, bad beginning sign for the tickets are about to go back on. They just went back on sale, actually, as people are listening to this for spring training. They're keeping like they have this. All these rows right up to the players are locked off. You're in little pods. People can't get near each other. You know, there's just all this stuff that's in there that they're doing. And maybe it's not the worst thing in the world to think like, Jesus, you're already getting a whole handful of these guys. And then you forget, oh, there's also injuries that can take place. And that is Romuto. And I wanted no part of him for the cost, though he's definitely an absolute tier above his competition. It was never worth it to me because he doesn't even cost the ADP you see. He costs like a top 50 pick. He always goes inside the top 50. And I'm not with that. You know, people make these big, annoying, like, oh, you could take Salvador Perez at like 130. It's better than taking Romuto at 50, even though as good as he is, I don't think getting a guy who's even 80% of Romuto, like 100+ picks later is a bad idea. And you can get amazing catchers in the 200. So I don't understand unless you're getting value in it. But you might now because Romuto is going to miss a month. And you might with Bieber. I'm actually really interested to see what happens with the COVID stuff. There might only be like a week or so.
You think he drops out of the first round? Do you think he's like, so you think, but okay. So instead of being around the middle of the first round, which I think is where he's at least on NFBC. I think
he's been 7 or 8.
Yeah, 7 or 8. Do you think he drops down to like 14, 13, somewhere in that range?
No.
Out of the first round, but lower in the first round?
No, I mean, I think if you only look at like stuff over the next week, I mean, like, would you not draft him in the first round? I feel like you wouldn't.
No, I don't know where to put him yet because, you know, they're saying mild symptoms and all that stuff. There are plenty of guys that go through this and they don't have ramifications. There's no reverberations further into their season and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But there are guys that hit that wall. Yoan Moncada. There's a couple guys in the NBA that have had it and have come back and said, yeah, I can't seem to catch my breath at the end of games. You know what I mean? It's kind of like when you first get, you know, get in the camp, you start ramping up and all that stuff.
I think Jason Tatum with the Boston Celtics was one that said that exact thing that you're talking about is that like, is he had COVID and he's had some issues like just recovering from a breath perspective at the end of games, which that's like, that one's wild to hear.
Well, I mean, those guys are also doing way more. You know what I mean? They're running, you know, whatever, a million miles per game up and down the court. You know, baseball players aren't doing that, but pitchers in particular, you know, like even if you have ramifications, like Yoan Moncada for a batter, he said he just couldn't get right the whole rest of the season. And he, you know, he's come back and said he feels better now and all that stuff. But this is what happens when we're going into this, you know, a little bit blind as far as COVID goes and not knowing the ramifications. At least we've had a season now, so we know some of these guys are going to be greatly affected. Some of these guys aren't, which is still what makes this whole thing weird for everyone. You know, some people go all the way down with this. So,
luckily it's
something.
Early,
it
though.
Has to lower him. It has to at least lower him to the bottom tier.
I think bottom of that tier. I think the only change is like you'd be more comfortable taking Cole over him, which I think was already happening. I think Bieber was already three over there. So I really don't think much changes. I don't see him going outside the top 12. So even at a 12 man, he's still a first rounder. But I think the only scare is right now. It's just the next week or so. Now,
sure,
we have enough
but
time.
There's plenty of drafts that are going to be happening in the next, you know, 3 weeks. So let's say he doesn't come back for
maybe NFBC drafts are going to be happening.
Okay, but there's a lot of people doing slow drafts now and all that stuff. You know, we don't live in the everyone drafts at the end of March bubble anymore. It's just not the way most drafts do that. And smart drafts do that.
But most drafts happen in March, though. Like, I'm agree with you. Right. They don't have to happen the last week, but they start. Even the more slow drafts are going to start up like March 1st to get to the season. I would say a majority of what's going on right now are best ball and NFBC based stuff. Do I think there'll be a drop if you just watch, you know, the 5 days between this? Yeah, I think there will be, but I don't think it's going to be. I don't think he will change. He won't go below Darvish or Bauer or something like that. Like, there might be a random league.
Wasn't Bieber the guy that left like the little bubble that they had last year and they made him drive? No,
That was Zach Plesac.
That was Plesac. Okay.
Yeah.
Wasn't it Plesac and Bieber, though? Well, wasn't Bieber out with Plesac and we
Clevenger.
Didn't find out about Bieber?
No.
Clevenger. You're right. I'm getting them wrong. So I guess I just can't keep up with all these guys.
Can't keep up with all the Indians and all their COVID issues and not caring about all of them. It's a lot of those. But I think you will see a small dip with Bieber, but I don't think it's anything significant. I would rather deal with this stuff because
how about this though? Here we go. Hold on. How about this though? It'll be a dip only for 2 weeks. If in 2 weeks he comes back and he's playing and he says I feel fine. If it's 2 weeks goes by and he's not testing positive for COVID anymore, but we're also going to have him, you know, kind of ease back into things. Then I think we start getting real worried.
Well,
right?
If that were to happen, but I'm telling you, I think he'll be back by Monday. I think that's where it is. It's what's weird is if you have COVID, you have to you're out for 10 days and then you're good to go. If you have a contact tracing issue, it's 14 days. You don't even have to be positive. So it's an incubation period. It's mild symptoms. He's had it. I think they already said he's on the latter half of it. So that's why, let's say he was tested positive 5 or 6 days ago. That's why he'll be back in a couple days. And that's why there's maybe a small discount window, maybe a trade window people can take advantage of if they're a little bit worried. But I only think it changes just slightly. The difference is going to be not does he come back in 2 weeks. He'll be back in 2 days. It's going to be how does he react and how does the team work with him as far as monitoring? Is he on a normal schedule? That's what we'll want to monitor. Don't go anywhere. We got to go to break. When we come back, probably a few more notes, and then we got to get to the big football trade right here on In This League.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
In This League.
Break it down.
Welcome back, friends. In This League, it's Bogman, it's Welsh. Thank you guys for tuning in. 3 hours, Bubba coming up in hour three. Make sure you guys are subscribed to the podcast on this. If you're listening on the podcast, good for you. If you're not, make sure you do so you don't miss any of it. And you can catch up with all of the stuff that we have got going on. Had a fantastic week on the baseball podcast last week. Upcoming this week, we've got another mock draft and our big boy ranks analysis. That's where we're going to take all the major sites and we are going to pit their ranks up against each other, tell you where you can find values on whatever platform you are drafting on. It is probably the most helpful. And then after that, it's Hell Week. Holy crap. Where we're going to be, you know, episode like every single day, going through all of our ranks, which you can get a head start looking at our ranks. They are top 300 and positional with tiers at patreon.com/ITL Army. So we're talking about just the first couple days of spring training and all the notes, but the Tatis of the contract, Remuto out, COVID cases, collapse lungs. There is so much just in the first couple days, and we're not even in full workouts yet. Not even there.
Right. I mean, this is pitchers and catchers reporting. You know what I mean? Like, the most of the hitters haven't even showed up yet. So there's still a lot going on here. We're going to get way more of these stories. There's probably more by the time this is airing. So this is going to be a constant. And, you know, that's just the world we're living in right now.
It really, really is. I was reading here, too. The spring training stuff is very interesting. John Morrissey had just reported that the Red Sox announced reduced capacity at JetBlue Park for spring training. The team says the ballpark will operate at approximately 24% of its normal capacity, allowing for physical distant pods compromised primarily of 2 to 4 seats. That's exactly what they're doing out here in Arizona.
I mean, why would you go 24 instead of 25? You know what I mean? That's got to be like they have the structure to set up where people are going to sit every game.
Yeah, yeah, probably. Maybe like just keeping under for they give themselves a little wiggle room, you know, that extra percent of people. And, you know, that's what Bogman and I, like we mentioned this before. We bought tickets. I bought tickets for us like a week or so ago. And then as soon as baseball came to an agreement on their deal, they canceled everything. Everybody got hit with, yep, your game's been canceled. We're going to refund your tickets because I don't think it was about like the amount of seats, because I think everybody was kind of in this space where they're going to do 25, but they decided to do kind of zones of playing. Like you're not going to see spring training. You're not going to see what you normally do where a team plays all the spring training teams. That doesn't look like that's going to be the case. They're going to try to zone it in more. So they restructured games. They probably restructured some of the stuff. And as we're recording this right before, but we're going to try to get back in and we'll be able to report that next week. As long as the tickets go through, we're going to try to be back at the same game and see a little bit of Diamondbacks Angels action.
Yeah, I mean, fingers crossed, right? Yeah. So I hope that everything works out and we can get those tickets back. But it's really, I almost lost $100. It's really crappy that, we bought tickets and then a week later they're like, nope, here's your money back. See ya. You know, yeah. I hate that.
I get to do that again. Yeah, I get to jump in on their little pre-sale and try to get those. But it's going to be interesting seeing the pod structure too, and like what a mess. Like, I wonder if we're going to go and we're going to feel like this is a mess, you know, between like trying to zone off players and teams and fans and the pods and you know, another.
How much does it suck for you too? Because you love going to the backfields before and after games and miserable. Seeing all those players, and that's just dead.
Oh, it's like, completely dead.
There is none of that happening this year.
I forgot to say this earlier. Here's a memory, a wild memory. 3-ish years ago, you, me, and a listener of the podcast went to, it was White Sox versus whoever. I don't remember who it was. It was Padres White Sox or Padres Dodgers, one of the two. Oh, I think it was Dodgers. It was White Sox, Padres Dodgers at Camelback Ranch, which is their.
The Reds were there too, and the Royals.
Yeah, everybody.
And also the Diamond.
Spring, sorry, I just couldn't remember it is, but you'll understand why I'm saying this and why I got confused is because this is the year after Tatis Jr. was traded to the Padres. We're there. I got front row tickets. We watched this game. Tatis made his spring training debut. His first spring training debut in like the sixth inning. He's an 18-year-old kid. And after the game, I was able to grab him. And I was just like, hey, and he came over and I talked to him for a second. And just think about this for a minute. That guy I'm talking to, $300 million now. And we cannot come remotely close to ever being able to do that. I don't even know when that's going to come back. We're not going to be able to come probably within 30 to 40 feet of getting near where, you know, the field meets the stadium. That's how far back we're going to be. I always like the personal interaction. I always like going back and seeing they run simulated games back there. I remember randomly hanging back at Camelback Ranch and catching a Cole Hamels simulated game. That was great. Can't do that. All of that's taken away. So that some of my love of that has been gone, but it is going to be so wild being in these like pod areas. And so, and another thing is the amount of fights that are going to happen from, because they're going to monitor this, Bogman. I don't know how they're going to do it, where if you are actively eating or drinking, you can have your mask off, but you know, there's, and then you have to put it back on. You know, there's somebody that's going to keep the mask off the whole time because they're nursing a beer, and they're going to, and then, and there's going to be a fight, and it's going to be a disaster. And then, you know, the idiots like in football we saw that got into fights in the stands and stuff. It's going to be,
well, hopefully that stuff, I mean, spring training doesn't elicit a lot of fighting because no one's really taking
everybody's
the actual
drunk
score.
Though. But everybody's
that's
drunk.
That's true. But I'll give you one guess as to which group of fans I saw like
Dodgers.
Actually, surprisingly, it wasn't the Dodgers. You get one more guess. Which team do you think it is?
That was what?
They were fighting in the stands at a spring training game.
The Cubs.
Yep, that's it. It was the Cubs. Like I remember going like right when Salt River Field opened, 2012. That or 2011, I think, was the first year they opened, and I had the Diamondbacks ticket package, so I was going to all the Diamondbacks games, and I saw people leave on stretchers maybe once or twice, a couple elderly people, you know, maybe out in the sun too long, but during the Cubs game, I saw four people leave on a stretcher, and it was just nuts. I mean, the stadium's not that big, so you can see that stuff happening, and, you know, at least two of them were because they were hammered. Like one guy absolutely passed out walking into the bathroom, and I saw that happen. Like it was just crazy. So hopefully we don't have, there's not too much of that. Tensions are going to be high because of COVID and all that stuff. But I can't imagine people getting in fights over a spring training game like that. That's a bit much. You know, I think it's a bit much if you get in a fight during a regular season game, but I think it's a little more understandable. If you get in a fight at a spring training game, like you need to go get your head checked.
You do need to get your head checked. Some other spring notes. Let's get through here. Otani was, we were told Otani is the good to go full 100% to be a multi position player this year, pitching and hitting. So that's great. He also threw a bullpen session on Thursday. I think you are still questioning on it. And this is probably the last year. If there's another injury, especially pitching wise, I think pitching goes out the window and Otani becomes a full-time positional player. But that's great news. And I think that's kind of open season to maybe jump back in. Unless you play on Yahoo and he's two different loser players, then I have no interest. But any other platform that allows you to probably date like weekly transactions, he's kind of tough too, because you know, what are you going to do? You're going to sacrifice all the hitting for one pitching every single week. It's kind of pointless. So his value is different there. But in a daily transitional league format where you can move him between positions, I think his value rockets up. You agree with me on that?
Yeah, I think so. I'm with you. Like if he's going to do both, it definitely has to rocket up a little bit, because I feel like, and I still hold this a little bit, not as much, obviously, now that they're saying they want to run him in both positions. But I feel like what you draft is you want to draft now instead of 100%, probably still 85% for the bat and then 15% for the pitching, and just kind of be happy with whatever he gives you in pitching.
Yeah. Trevor Rosenthal, this is another big one. Trevor Rosenthal on Thursday signed with the Oakland A's. The A's actually made two deals that's going to be in their starting lineup. They signed Mitch Moreland, who looks like he's going to DH and then maybe play a little first if Matt Olson's not out there. So they got their DH, and then they signed Trevor Rosenthal, which it is literally the best case scenario for Rosenthal outside of going to the Braves. Braves would have been number one if they commit to him as the closer. But my only marker would be, I'm not even 100% sure they would full on like guarantee that with him, because I got some other arms. He goes to the A's on an $11 million deal where he will be the closer. He took a little bit more money on a 1 year instead of some multi-year deals and the opportunity to save. And Rosenthal goes into a fantastic standpoint, and I rocketed him up my ranks now that they're, because I was worried he was going to go to a spot where he's not even a closer, where he's more of a setup guy, maybe with a bigger winning team. So this was a huge move in my eyes as far as the closer market goes, and hurts Jake Diekman.
Yeah, I mean, it has to bury Jake Diekman at this point, because like you said, they give him $11 million. He's going to be the closer. My only worry for him is, you know, he goes from a 13.5 ERA in 2019 to a 1.9. Like, I mean, the bat has him for 3.8. ATC has him for 3.99, closer to 4. So I don't think he's going to be what he was last year, but he's going to be getting the first save opportunities in Oakland, which is big. So,
yeah, well, and I think he's
can't draft him as what he was last
year. And I don't think it's a short lease situation. White Sox general manager Rick Hahn reiterated that prospect Andrew Vaughn is in the mix for the opening day roster. There's no guarantee, but in the alt site, he was playing first and third because he's a first baseman. He was playing some third, and they've got a spot open at DH because they confirmed Eloy Jimenez is their left fielder. And that's another noteworthy thing. I don't think there's any guarantees on it, but he is worthwhile because if it's not right away, it is going to be pretty damn soon. And the Jays are going to be playing in multiple different spots, which is going to cause chaos for everybody and how to evaluate as far as the hitters and pitchers go. Good luck on all of that. We got to go to break. When we come back, we are going to talk about the Indianapolis Colts' brand new quarterback. They made a trade. It's a big one in discussion. We'll talk about it right here on In This League.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
No one asked you anything ever, so whomever's name is
In This League.
Why don't you take a letter opener and stick it in your skull?
Hey. It is In This League. It's Bogman. It's Welsh. And it is a turn to the NFL. On Thursday, we were treated with a big old trade as the Indianapolis Colts have got their quarterback. It'll be exciting, I think, in the next couple of weeks. You know, and I haven't talked about it, but probably some new stuff on the In This League Fantasy Football podcast. So make sure you are locked in and subscribe to that because football news is coming out. And Carson Wentz is officially an Indianapolis Colt. He is their quarterback of the future, I guess. And the Eagles, they played a little bit of poker. They bluffed, and their bluff was called. There was a rumor that they wanted two first-round picks. They wanted, you know, probably something along the lines, maybe even bigger than what Matthew Stafford, who's like 74, you know, years old. They were able, that it's amazing what they were able to get for Stafford. That did not happen, and quite a kerfuffle, if you will, Bogman, was put up as the Colts traded a 2021 third round pick and a conditional first rounder in 2022. It's a second rounder now. It'll be a third round. It'll be a first rounder in 2022 because it's all about Wentz's playing time. If he plays, I think it's 70% of the snaps and, you know, whatever
yeah,
it's
70% of the snaps or it's, or it's 75% of the snaps or 70% and they make the playoffs.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. And he makes the playoffs. So, yeah. So like it's going to become a first rounder. So they got a 2022 first rounder. But if he makes the playoffs, it's not going to be a great one. And then they got a third rounder this year. Bogman, I was shocked at the return. I mean, I'm not a Wentz guy, but based off of what Stafford got, I had expectations that Wentz was going to get a first this year and maybe a two next year, not them completely punting this year. Were you shocked or is this where Wentz's market has moved to?
I'm pretty surprised by this because I guess I'm not crazy shocked at them not getting what they wanted, right? Because, you know, remember, the Eagles traded up to the number two pick to take Carson Wentz. And he was great in the year that they went to the Super Bowl, although he only played 13 games that year. He was third in MVP voting because he, you know, only played up to week 13 and then blew out his knee. So then Nick Foles took over and looked great in the playoffs and the rest is history, right? They beat the Patriots and all that good stuff. But last year put such a terrible taste in the NFL's mouth on Carson Wentz because he tied for the league lead in picks, even though he was benched late in the year. He led the league in fumbles. He led the league in sacks taken. He looked terrible, right? So he didn't look great. So I'm not surprised he didn't get what they wanted, but I am a little surprised that they didn't hold out for a first round pick because the Colts have the 21st pick in the first round this year. That's what I want if I'm trading Wentz. I want that pick, right?
Yeah.
that they weren't going to get it. So the Bears kind of came out of this deal and said, we're not negotiating anymore. I think the Panthers are, they're not going to trade for Carson Wentz. They want to deal everything to get Deshaun Watson. And the Broncos also were not interested in Carson Wentz. So now you have one dance partner, right? It's just the Colts. So they're not going to bid against themselves. Yeah. So I like this. I think this works on both sides. You get a second round pick for this year, which I think is 54 overall. And then you get that second round pick conditional next year, which most likely will turn into
a third round pick this year.
Okay, I'm sorry. That's 84 overall this year for the Colts thing. Yeah. And they get that second round pick, which is conditional first, which you and I both think it'll be a first unless, he gets hurt or plays as terrible. But I think Carson Wentz really, really fits with the Colts because what did he not have last year, Welsh? I mean, it's the offensive line was the major issue. And this is where I really started to despise Doug Peterson and what he was doing with this Eagles offense last year was it was clear you can't protect Wentz for two Mississippi, right? He can't drop back and go one Mississippi, two Mississippi. He would drop back and go one miss a crunch. It's over. The play's over. It's done. They weren't rolling him left or right. They weren't chipping. They just weren't doing enough to protect Carson Wentz from himself with this bad offensive line. Really wasn't always Wentz's fault. It was a lot of times, and you could just see him later in the year, he just looked lost. He didn't know what to do. He's getting hit too much. So now you put him behind one of the better offensive lines in the NFL. He's back with his OC from his Eagles days and Frank Reich. So I really think this is going to be a good move for both the Colts and Wentz. Plus, the Colts are keeping the Eagles because they weren't giving up a lot of picks and all that stuff. They're keeping $38 million, which is the most. It's the biggest cap hit for one player ever in NFL history for this year.
And
so,
the Colts could afford that. Colts were able to. That was probably
the Eagles are keeping it because of all that stuff. So I think it's a good deal on both sides. And I think Carson Wentz is really, really going to be better in Indianapolis because he's going to have more time to throw the ball just flat out. And I think Frank Reich is going to be a little more inventive if he sees, Carson Wentz getting happy feet or, kind of going through what he went last year in Philly. He's going to make the proper adjustments that Doug Peterson just was not making at all. So,
yeah.
And for fantasy terms, Welsh, this skyrockets Jalen Hurts, not only his value for this year, but his dynasty value as well, because now it's not a debate. It's not a debate going into camp, whether it's going to be one of these guys because they couldn't find a trade partner and all that stuff. The deal is, it's not officially done. Nothing can be officially done until March 17th, the date for the new NFL season. But I think this is going to be great for both franchises. And I think this is really good for Carson Wentz's career.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people, a lot of early indications are Hurts is a top 10 quarterback, fantasy quarterback for next year. Wentz is further down, but Hurts moves inside the top 10. What do you think about him as a top 10 guy?
Yeah, I think he's going to definitely be on that border, right? Like there are some really, really good quarterbacks. It's almost an embarrassment of riches. You have Mahomes, you have Lamar, you have a lot of these guys that are, they're going to be going. I mean, Aaron Rodgers at 96 years old just averaged the most points, right? So there's plenty of quarterbacks to pick from this year. Top 10, it's asking a lot, but based on what he did last season, I don't think it's going to be, you're going to have Mahomes, Lamar, Allen, Watson, Murray. Dak, I think, goes ahead of him.
Oh, yeah,
cool. And then you're into the Herbert, Jalen Hurts, Burrow, Russell Wilson, A-Rod. That's kind of that group. Aaron Rodgers, obviously, this year. I'm just looking at my dynasty ranks here. But Rodgers is going to go up ahead of him. Wilson's probably up ahead of him still. But he's going to be in that group. It's hard to know. I need to go back and see what he averaged as a starter. Because just looking at his average points last year, because he had all those RPO plays and stuff, they have him playing 15 games and have all this.
Well, also like what structure changes here. One thing I was kind of surprised didn't happen if Wentz was going to go. I thought Ertz would be involved in this trade because Ertz had been rumored to go to the Colts for weeks now. And it would have made a lot of sense if they would have just, you know, moved him on over there in the same trade. So maybe that takes it off the table. But you'd have to suspect Ertz is gone from the team. And then whatever other playmakers they're going to end up bringing in, Goddard kind of moves into the full-time role. If they're going to bring in any other receivers, depending what goes on the market, you could get more playmakers for Hurts. So, you know, who's in a better position? Like, let's assume the Eagles don't bring in any new playmakers offensively, and Hurts just has that offense with that same offensive line. Or Wentz, who goes over with, you know, man, you want to talk about a fantastic defense, but a budding offense. It's the Colts. Jonathan Taylor, some of the early ranks I've seen where people are putting Jonathan Taylor at RB. I mean, it might blow your mind, Boggs. I've seen people talking two. Some people have him at two overall at running back this coming year.
I mean,
two
is ridiculous, but he's going to be very, very high.
I mean, I think you're not going to see him much lower than six or seven, and some as high as two, but you've got Taylor in there.
I think he's the top guy after that first group. You know, you got McCaffrey, Barkley, Kamara, Cook, Elliott, and then the next group, I think Taylor, Chubb, you know, Swift, Jacobs, Eckler, like he's got to be in that group.
But do you think like we're getting overblown about Hurts with that same offensive line and that same team, or are we underplaying Wentz, who's going to go to, you know, I mean, there's better offensive line there. They've got Pittman. They've got Hilton. They've got a running back. They've have some tight ends. They might make, it seems like they're going to be aggressive with some more moves. They've got a great defense to play. I just wonder, like, is Wentz going to be underrated coming into this year, or is Hurts ready? Is he the next big breakout?
I think Wentz is definitely going to be underrated. I think that is, you know, it's just an inevitability because of his terrible, terrible 2020 season. And I think that Hurts, look, we saw him do this last year, right? We saw him do it with a bad offensive line with all the injuries last season. And this year, you know, their new head coach, and this is the whole reason why they added. And it's funny, you know, because once again, these two franchises cross. Nick Sirianni was the Colts offensive line coach, which is he's the new head coach in Philly. So I think they're going to be able to make more adjustments, and Hurts is going to have an even, you know, better season. Because remember last year, dude was a rookie. And not only was he a rookie, but he was coming in behind an established starter, and he didn't have preseason games to show off. He didn't have a lot of reps in practice because of all the COVID nonsense that was happening. So I think Hurts is going to be a little bit overrated, and I think Wentz is going to be a little bit underrated going into draft season. But these could both be guys that if you're in a 12-man league, you know, you could get either one of these guys late. In that case, I think Hurts is going to go ahead of Wentz. I think Hurts is going to be one of those guys that gets picked, like, you know, around round 7 or 8, and Wentz is going to be a end of the draft type of a guy in a 12-man league, you know.
I just remember when, you know, it was like Wentz, the top dynasty guy, and such a big play. Does Wentz hurt any of these Colts at all? Michael Pittman's development, does he hurt Hilton? Maybe they bring someone in. Does it hurt Jonathan Taylor at all? I mean, you know, defenses don't trust him enough.
Yeah, his main job is going to be turn around and hand the ball off to Jonathan Taylor, right? I mean, when you have a running back like that out of Wisconsin and all that stuff, you know, I know there was a little bit of getting him going in 2020, which is just the risk that you take with any rookie player at all is their risk. But I think that Wentz is going to be fine with all these guys. This is better for them. I still think Wentz will be better than what, or right around the same as what Phillip Rivers was.
Let me throw this one little wrinkle. We've only got 2 minutes here, but reported by Schefter and Chris Mortensen that the Eagles' starting quarterback job is reportedly, quote, not automatically going to Hurts. The team intends to bring in competition to compete for the role.
Yeah, no. You don't trade a former MVP candidate and number two overall pick if you don't have what you want on your roster already. So they can say that, and I'm sure that Sirianni's, you know, we're not going to give anyone a starting job until I see him and blah, 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 blah. Jalen Hurts is the starting quarterback for 16 games unless injury happens next year. Sure, you have to say that because you heard someone in the organization say it, but that's a joke. I mean, Jalen Hurts is their quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, it's such nonsense because obviously if they it's a no-brainer if you can get the money off. I think that's probably the big play. But, like, Wentz is the exact type of guy you would want to bring in to be competitive with Jalen Hurts. So it is kind of silly. And it's going to be interesting where the market goes now, because you've got Stafford out, Goff obviously out. You've got the Wentz trade done, and it all now comes down to Deshaun Watson. And it's going to determine a lot for what teams are, you know, like the 49ers have been looming around. Will they or will they not be with Garoppolo? And, you know, Sam Darnold's in the same situation. If the Jets were to get him, then he would be on the move. Watson dictates the market, and the Colts, you know, I don't really know if they helped or hurt what the trade looks like. We got to go to break. When we come back, we'll finish up hour two right here on In This League.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
It's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they used to make
In This League.
I'm the smartest guy in the world, says who?
IQ test you took in prison, brought to you by Carl's Jr.
I am Welsh, that is Bogman. It's In This League. Thank you guys for tuning in. This is the end of hour two, which means hour three is coming up, of course, but that means I will not be here. Bubba tags in, our boy KC. Bubba, what's on docket for you and Bubba?
We're going to talk a little football and a little baseball like we normally do. I mean, I will probably hit the Sean Watson trade pretty hard since we didn't talk about it here. But,
well,
you know,
rumored trade, you mean? He made it sound like he was traded.
Well, he's not traded yet, but the trade rumor swirling around. I mean, look, the Texans still aren't even taking calls, right? They have said that they don't want to trade him.
Do you believe that? Because that's something like you're so like automatic about the whole like they're bringing a competition for Hurts. You're like, no. I hear that and I'm like, no, there's no way that they're not picking up calls on Deshaun Watson right now.
Well, I think they're not picking up calls on him, but I think someone like maybe it's not getting to the GM, but somebody's listening. Like they're hearing what the offers are and all that stuff. They're listening. But it's just, like, you know, you saw what the Rams had to do to get Matt Stafford and you go, oh, God, this almost makes a Deshaun Watson trade impossible, because if you gave up that for Matt Stafford, who is long in the tooth as far as quarterbacks go in their NFL career, then what is it going to take to get Watson in the prime of his career, right?
Between Wentz and Stafford's trade, yes. Jesus.
But the Wentz deal kind of makes it come back to earth, right? Because you didn't have to give up that much to get a Carson Wentz. Granted, he's coming off the worst season that he possibly could have had, where, you know, he looks like Sam Bradford for a year. So that's terrible. But I think that kind of evens it out. And we heard the rumors about what the Panthers are willing to give up, which is 3 first round picks and Christian McCaffrey, which, first of all, I think 3 first round picks will get it done for Watson, right? And if you want to throw in Christian McCaffrey, if that was the case, I feel like that's more the Panthers getting McCaffrey's contract off of their roster. So I think the Watson trade is going to happen before the season starts, obviously, and before the draft even. And I think it's still going to happen, but it doesn't have to look like, you know, you're giving up the Ricky Williams trade to get him anymore now that this Wentz deal happened.
Yeah, it's interesting, and we're going to keep monitoring the whole thing, and we all turn our eyes to Deshaun Watson. We all turn our eyes and ears to hour three, so don't go anywhere. Bubba Bogman, I can't speak, that's why I got to go.
Bugman.
Coming up, Bugman. Here we go.